Greetings this morning in the name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be gathered together this morning, and thank you to each one that has made this a meaningful service so far. It's a blessing to look into the Word of God and to find encouragement, strength, and all that we need to live our Christian lives. We find it in the Word, and that's a blessing. Was already mentioned a few times that this past week was Thanksgiving. And the original intent of the Thanksgiving Day was a day set aside to thank God for what he blessed us with in the past year. The blessings that he has given so richly, and back when it was started, they faced a lot of trials that year, and yet they were very blessed, and they sensed God's blessings in that. But sadly today, so many have forgotten who their Creator is, who their Sustainer is. And Thanksgiving has become a day of feasting, and for a lot, anything other than of thanking the Lord, everything but that. You know, as children of God, Thanksgiving needs to be more than a one-day thing. Yes, it's important that a day is set aside, and I appreciate that. But it needs to be a way of life for us as Christians in thanking the Lord. It's easy to thank God for the good things in life. It's easy to say, well, what am I thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for family and for a church and a warm house. And those are all good things, and we need to be thankful for them. But it needs to go beyond that also. It needs to go beyond our circumstances in life. And it needs to be rooted. Our thankfulness needs to be rooted in who God is. And this morning, I sympathize with those this morning that have faced a Thanksgiving that has not been easy, as easy as some years. Think of the Smucker family and the loss of Lester, a husband, father, Joe's in your family, and loss of personal possessions, and others here this morning that maybe it was a first for this Thanksgiving that someone in your family was not with you. Or maybe other things. And our prayers are with you in that. And in the message this morning, I'm certainly not implying that you're not facing life the way you should. And I struggled a bit in knowing if I should even preach this message, but it's the truth of God's Word. And it's for each one of us, and no matter what for situation we find ourselves in. And the title of the message is, In Everything Give Thanks. Giving of thanks to God should be one of the most distinctive marks of the believer. And certainly not only when things go well. As I mentioned before, you know, we are prone so much to thank God and to give thanks when things feel well, when things are going well for us. It's based on what I want, my feelings. But it needs to go far beyond that. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'd like to read a few verses here. And there's a lot of truths in the Word of God, and we can't exhaust them this morning. I won't try to cover near all of those. But it's important that we find our thankfulness in God and who He is. And I'd like to draw our minds to God this morning. None of us know what the future is. None of us know what tomorrow will hold, what we'll face the rest of the day. None of us know that. But there's truths in the Word of God that will keep us grounded and settled when those times of testing come. Yeah, they might shake us. but the truth of the Word of God remains. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God desires that His children would rejoice. Now, this is Paul talking here. And if we wouldn't know much about Paul, we could maybe say, well, things always went well for him. But they didn't. He faced a lot of times of severe testing, trials, tears. But he says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. How's that possible in the midst of severe testing like Paul faced? Some of you are facing today. In everything give thanks. Not just when things go well. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're to be more than fair weather Christians. More than just giving thanks when things are going well. It doesn't mean there won't be tears. Paul faced many of those. And he talks about a lot of those. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to read a few verses there. I'm going to be looking at several different scriptures this morning, and I just like the Word of God to speak to us this morning. God speaking to us. It's not my words. Ephesians 5, verse 19 through 21. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Again, we have in verse 20 there, giving thanks always for all things unto God. How's this possible? How is this possible that we can give thanks for all things? That we can sing even when there's difficulties. You know, Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, unjustly beaten, what did they do? They sang. And that's really what God wants for us as Christians. That we're willing to glory and praise Him, even when things go in a way that we find difficult to understand. And this morning I'd like to look at several things that will help us in grounding us, in being able to give thanks for all things. And I'm not saying that these things are easy. But we find our strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who I want to point each one of us to this morning. Because we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what will happen in the morrow. But God does. And that's who we need to find our strength in. Point number one that I have is give thanks because of who God is. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 100. Beautiful psalm. And we find a lot of encouragement and strength in the psalms. We often go there. And it's a tremendous blessing as we read that and we think about the psalmist and how he praised God so many times. Did he always have an easy life? We know the psalmist David didn't. But he was there to praise the Lord. And I'd like for us to read this psalm in unison, Psalm chapter 100. Let's all stand as we read. Psalm chapter 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thank you. You may be seated. Talks about making a joyful noise unto the Lord, or being thankful. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. What does that mean to you this morning? Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He's supreme. He is sovereign. He's eternal. And the list could go on and on as we think of words to describe God. He is God, the I am that I am. And it's important for us to remember that God is God, whether we understand it or not. There's a lot of things in life we don't understand and never will understand. But God will always be God. And let's let him be God. Not try to question his ways and his doings. It goes on in that verse to say that he hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God is God and he is the creator. He created us. And who is his creation to question his doings? We're not here for ourselves. And in these verses, I don't see that it gives us a lot of room to say, I want my way. I want what I want. But it talks about God. It talks about God being the creator. It's not us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It's about God. It's not about me. It's important that we remember that. You know, so often we find ourselves in life in very comfortable positions, and we all enjoy that. We really do. But with that, so often we become selfish. We think too much about me, about ourselves. You know, our little world revolves around me and what I want, what makes me feel good. And yet, it's important that we remember that life here is because of God and for God. He made us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, God is orchestrating everything from a totally different perspective than what we see. You know, God is God from the beginning to the end. And we are just in a small place here somewhere called time. And we see so little of God's whole plan and purpose for us here and also for generations. But he has placed us here for a specific time and a specific purpose. And he cares about each one of us. He knows what you are facing today. He knows what you faced last week, what you will face tomorrow, what each one of us are facing. And he cares about that because he created us. He's God. Do we really believe that? You know, and we would say, yeah, we do. And yet, sometimes we wonder. Sometimes we're shaken in our faith. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Another point in verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. When you think of that word good, or God For the Lord is good. What do you think about? Maybe I'll just open it up a little bit. What comes to your mind when you think of the Lord is good? How would you describe that? Anything else? He is good. Righteous judge. Anything else?
David said in one place, "Who am I and what is my life that God has brought me hither to?" And I think of the privilege that we have, our heritage, and that God spoke to us as individuals. When you think of how many billions of people there are in the world today, who am I?
We could go on and on thinking about the goodness of God. But it's a truth that needs to be settled in our hearts, that God is good. Whether we understand it or not. Whether we face situations that sometimes we find difficult to really believe that God is good. But He is. He's there. He's a kind, loving, gracious, helpful. And there was many things mentioned this morning that God is good. His mercy is everlasting. It's always there for us. It's not going to change from yesterday to today till tomorrow. But it's always there to all generations, from the beginning to the end. God never changes. He's always good. Turn with me to Psalm 107. A few more verses I'd like to read there. Again, just inspiring verses as we think about God and His goodness, His love to us. In Psalm 107, verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever." And I'd like to read up to verse 16, but think about it as we read the next few verses. It all of a sudden talks about difficulties, times of trials that the Israelites faced. I think it's probably referring to them to a certain extent, but I think it's also things that we face, maybe different stages in life, different trials that we face. But it says, "He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought them down, their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. I'll discontinue reading there. Now, isn't it a blessing that in the midst of difficulty, there was redemption there? God was there to redeem them, to lift them up. And if things would always go well for us, we would forget that God is our Redeemer. But he's there to lift us up in those difficult times. And verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And he goes on to say that same verse multiple times in this chapter. I think just trying to rivet it in our minds that God is good and that we must praise him. We must honor him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In the midst of storm, God's character shines brighter. And we fail to see the true character of God, or we would fail if we wouldn't face some of these difficult times in life sometimes. Then going on to verse 43. Who is wise and will observe these things? Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Those that see these things, or those that take note of the redemption, how he saved people in these different situations, how he delivered them from storms, his power over nature. Who is wise and will observe these things? Or we could say, who is wise and observes different situations that we find ourselves in life, and see how God has lifted us up and carried us through? Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. That is our God. That's the God that we have the privilege of serving. A God that is good. Whether we understand his ways or not. The second one I have is God uses life circumstances for our good. And we talked about this a bit. If we go to Romans chapter 8, a lot of things overlap a bit here. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The primary purpose that God has placed us here is to be Christ-like. And he talks about that in verse 29, conforming us to the image of his Son. And that's God's purpose when he takes us through difficult situations in life, to conform us more in the image of Christ. If God is the one that has created us, and we know that he has, Why do we question when he tries to make us more in the image of Christ? And I think it's a lot of times because we don't understand his ways. But we need to remember that God is our creator and he's trying to conform us in the image of his Son. He wants us to be a true representation of Christ in the world here. And it doesn't necessarily mean that our life is not the way it should be. Yeah, we have areas that we need to grow in, but sometimes he uses situations in our lives to be an example to those around us of how a Christian should live and should act, how we should work together. We need to give thanks to Christ because he has saved us. John 3:16-17, very familiar verses. And we talked about that a bit this morning in our Sunday school. How often do we think about the blessing of being saved? What God has done for us. Salvation. We were lost, but praise God, we've been found. God's gift to mankind through his Son. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. I'll quick turn to that. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And his gift to us is, there's many gifts. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also the power to live a changed life. You know, not only did he die for us, but he gave us power to live a changed life. And he's talked about that in chapter 9 in 2 Corinthians, about the change that he brings in our lives. And we need to thank God for that. In Luke chapter 17, and I don't think I'll read the passage there, talks about the 10 lepers that were healed. And we know that story. And if we could put ourselves in the leper's shoes a little bit and think about how hopeless they must have felt. They were apart from the other camp. They were the outcasts in society. They were basically just waiting to die. There was no known cure for them. But Jesus came along and they cried out for help. And he healed them. But there was only one that was truly grateful. There was only one that came back and said, thank you. And Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. So where do we find ourselves this morning? It's a question for each one of us personally. Where do we find ourselves? Are we like those 9 that have been given many blessings but failed to thank God for it? Or are we like that one that was willing to come back and say, thank you, God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for bringing healing in my life. May we always truly be grateful to God for what he has done for us and what he is continuing to do in our lives, whether we understand it or not. Let's remember that God is God. He is our creator. He's the one that made us. Remember that God is good. Always. God is good. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.